Now, the voices of Bronco Athletics, Bob Beeler and Chris Lewis on Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.
Huddle up with Coach Brian Harsin returns today at 2:15. Coach Harsin answers questions. Also, touchdown for tickets. That continues as well today. We're doing it earlier in the hour today than we did the previous days of this week. So keep you on your toes when we let you know. It'll be 208-424-9300, ninth caller. Of course, when we let you know, that a little bit later on this hour. No Bob Beeler today. So in for Bob, we got Darren Collins. What is up?
I'm taking over the station.
All right, yeah.
First Prater, now it's Bob. I'm going to work my way through the whole lineup.
Trust me, with all the off days people take around here, you're going to get plenty of time where you're in all these different chairs. Now, my thing is, when you do the 3-6 fill-in, you're working with a guy who's, you know, Jeff Caves. Not to say he's old, but he's older than me. Or you're working with Prater, who's not to say old, but he's older than me. The ages of me and Michael Fisher are probably younger than the age of just one of those guys.
Yeah, it'll be a whole different show, that's for sure. It'll be a more spirited show. How about that?
No doubt. So perfect. You're the perfect guy for today's show because I can't make some sense of something that I'm watching on a night-in, night-out basis, and maybe you are the perfect guy to help fill in the gaps for me because I need somebody who played a sport at a very high level.
Check.
That is not Bob.
Check.
That is you.
Check.
Somebody who's won a championship.
Check.
You got that. You don't have no ring on today, though.
I got to bring it in one day, but it doesn't, you know, the radio listeners wouldn't understand, so it only makes sense to you and Fish.
There's Instagram. There's Facebook Live. We can get that out there.
That's true. All right, maybe we'll plan on that. I think I'm on with you guys next week, so maybe, oh, wait, that'll be Bob. Might not be you. I think somebody else is taking a vacation.
All right, all these vacays. Someone who has insight on other professional athletes.
No, definite check.
All right, because professional athletes should be completely ashamed of themselves, mainly in the NBA, at this LeBron James run that we're seeing on a night-in, night-out basis. Last night, another game, another blowout with LeBron James's team on the winning end. 117-104 final. Cavs led by 26 points in this game in the first half. On the road, mind you, in Boston. LeBron's final line in this game, 38 points. 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 14 of 24 shooting, 9 of 11 from the free throw line. So, in a way, a spectacular game. In another way, it's just another day in the office. Because LeBron's playoff numbers, 5 straight games of 35 or more points. He's averaging in the 9 games in this postseason, 35 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, on 56% shooting, which is ridiculous, 43% from behind the arc, insane for a dude who's 6'8" and 250 pounds. By the way, LeBron James after, I mentioned it's another day at the office, he didn't even think it was a good day at the office.
I don't even think we played, you know, that great tonight. I mean, we definitely didn't shoot the ball, you know, as well as we capable of shooting. I know Kyle had a 3 or 4 very, very good looks that he missed.
So we didn't even play that well. I didn't even play that well. It's kind of what he said after the game. Again, 38-9-7 for a dude who's 32 years old in his 14th year in the NBA. So, Darren, a question here. In an environment of the most talented people, combined with the work ethic that you need to reach the level of professional athlete in the National Basketball Association, and it could really be any sport, the work ethic that you need to have, how can LeBron James be this much better than everybody else for so long? This is nuts.
Yeah, that's a tough question. I mean, I think it's a combination of one, it's a rare size and physical ability that you just don't see. You don't see guys necessarily with that kind of build, that kind of size, that kind of movement continue to just pop out. You know, those guys aren't, they're more of a one in a million situation, obviously.
And
you're
also, some, like Rudy Gay, for example, is like 6'8", 240. He's almost the same size as LeBron and half the player.
Yeah, exactly. Then you have to start looking at guys' real work ethic. Like, it takes a certain amount to get in the NFL or in the NBA or in the MLB, but the more you'll realize when you get to those levels is once guys get there, a lot of guys get comfortable, and a lot of guys will put in enough effort to be good but not great, and a lot of guys don't want to challenge. A lot of guys don't want to put themselves out there in that situation where they can face a guy like LeBron or have to challenge themselves to a guy like LeBron. They're fine with putting a guy like that on a pedestal and saying he's different than all the rest of us, and the rest of us, we can just work in this little group together. Because if you look at these stats and you look at the way he plays, you know, this isn't even a guy who's got to play the whole game anyways. I mean, he could be doing even more. It's a different level of competition when he's out on the court.
Professional athletes at this point, they have the same training across the board. They know the same people. They have the same diet information to know what kind of foods you need to eat and don't eat to be at peak physical condition. And they all have similar physical gifts. They might not all reflect themselves in the exact same package, yeah, but they all have the same kind of physical gifts. So for everybody to have the same kind of information, and again, this can go to football too, but have such a wide disparity of effectiveness between players, I still find that kind of fascinating because I assume that everybody still works hard, but you're saying there's some people who still work harder than others when you get to a certain level, but these are all hardworking people who had to sacrifice a lot to get here. So to have a LeBron James or a Tom Brady, for example, same argument that he is significantly better than everybody else at the quarterback spot. And even physically, he is not physically better than all these other quarterbacks.
No.
You know, 6'4", 6'5". There's other guys who are bigger, other guys who have stronger arms. So why is it that these guys could be able to do this? I think this is more of a reflection on other athletes to be ashamed of themselves. You let one dude be that much better than you for such a long period of time. That's a reflection on you.
Yeah, that's a reflection on you saying, I'm not going to chase that person down. I'm not going to put in the extra work. The difference that separates the amazing and the great professional athletes over the average professional athlete that goes in there is, I mean, you're talking about 1%. You're talking about the guy who's willing to watch a little more film. He has the physical ability. I was one of those guys that there was plenty of guys I played that were bigger, stronger, faster than I was. I had to make up my 1% in work ethic, in effort, and in film. I had to try to be smarter than the guys across from me. Now, if I could have done that and also had the physical talent of somebody like LeBron, if I could have combined those two, then I would have luckily probably had the opportunity of being one of those elite players, but I wasn't. So I lived in that middle area where I had to try to chase the best of the best down. But there's some guys out there that they don't care. They're not going to chase the best of the best down. They're fine working out with their strength coach, getting their physical therapy in, and then crushing McDonald's all week, or making sure that, you know, making sure they've got the candy, or making sure that they're out in the club and being seen. You know, different guys live different lives. You know, you don't see pictures of LeBron at the club that much. You don't see pictures of Tom Brady out at the club on the weekends. You know, he goes home and lives a certain life, and when it's during the season, it's during the season. And not everybody takes the game as serious. They may have the physical ability, but they may not be willing to work on the mental side, or they may have the mental not be able to work on the physical. They're not willing to put in that extra effort to be the greatest because the greatest is already right in front of them. Yeah. You've got a prototype. You've got you know what it looks like. Go chase it down.
But all that being said, but just one? Like, there's only one athlete that can meet physical that can match the physical talent that it takes to be a great with the mental discipline to be a great. That there's only one athlete in the entire sport of basketball, only one quarterback in the entire NFL that can, maybe two. I'll put Peyton Manning in the same kind of vicinity as Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But only two in the entire universe of guys who can be professional NFL quarterbacks. That there's only two of them that could match the physical tools with the mental discipline. I just find that crazy to me.
Well, I think you get these generational guys that come around and they play the game in a different way. Like you look at Tiger Woods when he was playing in his prime. It was a different game when he was playing it. And you find more and more that people are willing to just let that happen and be like, all right, I was there when that happened. I'm going to let it pass, and hopefully my moments can come underneath it. I don't need $32 million. I'll be happy making 20 and just being a guy on the team or something like that. So it's kind of like generationally it goes along. I think Tom's is a little different situation, and he needs more people around him, unlike a LeBron who can take over a game and make everybody around him a little better. But if they're not doing great, he can kind of carry him. Tom can't do it by himself. He's had great coaching staffs, great guys around him, but he's another dude though that also, to reverse that argument, brings the people up around him. He makes them better. But without Tom, you know, what do the Patriots really look like? I don't know. That's a question. He's been playing too long to not know. But LeBron has found a way everywhere he goes to bring success, championships, and not drop off as a player. It's an amazing thing to me.
No matter the era, we'll always see great athletes who are above their peers. It's always, though, fascinating for me to see what about them has allowed them to rise above all these other people who claim to be hardworking, claim to be physically gifted, yet they can't even reach the same stratosphere as a guy like LeBron for 14 years. Still, It's crazy. Be the ninth caller right now to try and qualify to win a pair of Boise State football season tickets by playing Touchdown for Tickets. These tickets are in Section 125, Row W. That's the east side, second deck between the 5 and 20-yard line by the south end zone. Sponsored by the Bronco Athletic Association. Again, these tickets worth $930 for the pair. That's calling 424-9300 right now. Playing Touchdown for Tickets next on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Update coming up soon, but right now it is Touchdown for Tickets. Bob Beeler is out. Darren College, though, is in. Touchdown for Tickets, a way for you to qualify to win some Boise State football season tickets. David was the ninth caller, so he is the one at stake right now. David, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Darren College. Good to chat with you, man.
I'm glad to be here.
All right,
yeah,
David.
Go Pack. I met you in an airport in Green Bay, as a matter of fact.
What were you doing in an airport in Green Bay, Wisconsin, would be the bigger question.
Yeah, well, I was standing right behind you, and I'm like, dang, that guy's big. And I tapped you on the shoulder, and I go, you play ball? And you go, for the Packers. And I'm like, I love you, man. So, yeah, I was in Green Bay for business meeting, believe it or not.
How do you handle when people tap you on the shoulder when you don't know what's going on? Do you get used to that as an NFL player? I feel like that would startle me.
Yeah, you get used to it as an NFL football player, but especially in a town like Green Bay, like, you know, you kind of stand out in that town. It's not like New York or L.A. where you might kind of blend in. Like, they're gonna find you in Green Bay.
That's true.
Yeah, he didn't blend in, that's for sure.
All right, David, let's get going. Ready to qualify to win a pair of Boise State season tickets? You need to let us know whether this play is a touchdown or not. Ready to go. Let's go, Fish.
Tight ends bookending the line, ripping under center. Ripping back to pass, throwing left side, corner of the end zone.
Oh, corner of the end zone. So you know that if this pass is completed, it's a touchdown. Now you guys have to know whether it's a completion or not. So, David, is this play a TD or no?
All right, I'm going to go TD. Go Broncos.
Tight ends bookending the line, ripping under center. Ripping back to pass, throwing left side, corner of the end zone. Touchdown! Thomas Spurbeck goes up, gets the feet in the corner of the end zone.
Bing!
Yes!
I like David right away. He's like, you know, Darren College, perfect guy to talk to. Met him in Green Bay. Optimistic about the Broncos. They're going to score a TD right here. How many games do you get to a year, David?
Well, we actually just moved back from Denver about 6 months ago, so we made 4 games last year and looking forward to a full season this year.
All right, so you're one of the qualifiers. Be listening next hour for another chance to win. By the way, you can listen at 5:30 to Caves and Prater to see if you're the one who gets the season tickets. Get your season tickets now. It gives you the best pricing per game, the best seats and opportunities to purchase additional home, road, bowl game tickets. Touchdown for Tickets on your FM home of Boise State Football, Sports Radio 93.1 FM, The Tickets. We're 1-for-1, Fish. We're still looking for our first 5-for-5 day, right?
Yeah, and we're still looking for the first winner from this show.
Oh,
somehow,
man.
In the drawing at Idaho Sports Talk with Caves and Prater, it's always the guy who qualified on their show.
It sounds a little bit like a conspiracy theory
to
me.
Fishy.
Sounds like the NBA draft.
Yeah.
Rigged.
I know, Celtics, Lakers. I'm still bitter, man. I'm a Sixers fan. I wanted 2 picks in the top 4. Anyway, all right, for the sports update, Michael Fisher.
The sports update is brought to you by the Iwahi Tavern. Doing business over lunch or meeting friends in downtown Boise, make it new and exciting at the Iwahi Tavern Steak and Sea on 11th and Main. Well, we all thought the 3 B's on LeVar Ball's hat stood for Big Baller Brand. We were wrong. LeVar Ball told Fox Sports they now stand for billion, 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 because that is his new asking price for Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour. They turned him down when he asked for a billion. Well, now that Lonzo looks to be headed to the Lakers, the new price, $3 billion.
What do you think of this dude, man?
Thinking about his dad or thinking about him?
Right now it's LeVar. What are you thinking about this LeVar? Because NFL players, if their dad was out here trying to cause a ruckus, I have a feeling that wouldn't last very long.
No, it wouldn't go over very well at all. It's one of those things where you kind of... It's hard because you can only let your parents do so much. Your parents are going to... They're going to make their noise. But that's the way it is now. Like, it's shock value. Everything's about shock value. You know, what can we get? What attention can we draw? There's no more of those... Well, I shouldn't say there's none. There's no more of those quiet warriors out there anymore. we just don't have time to see him because we're being drowned out by the noise by people. But we continue to give him a stage. Yeah. We allow him to pimp his product. We allow him to kind of pimp his son, to have that, to spread the word. And we keep him in the news. And as they say, any news is good news, right?
As long as he's not, like, saying offensive things like he kind of did yesterday on Fox Sports, where he's telling people to stay in their place and saying somebody's only an expert on snacks. Like, that's when you start. But, like, otherwise, they're in a culture in 2017 when it's all about, as you're right, drawing attention to yourself. Skip Bayless is getting paid, like, what, $4 million a year? Let's say LeBron James isn't good at basketball. Is what LeVar Ball is saying that much more extreme than saying LeBron James isn't good at basketball?
Not at all. Obviously, he's just not as politically correct as it added as others are. But the fact of the matter is, 50% of the people are with you that say, this is blah, he can't say it this way. The other 50% love the soundbite, and they're going to keep playing it. They'll be like, oh, this dude's outrageous, but they're going to play it because it draws attention.
I love the soundbites. I'm putting myself in that.
Love 50%. The soundbites.
And staying in the NBA, the All-NBA teams were announced today. Bad news if you're Indiana or Utah Jazz fan. Paul George and Gordon Hayward both missed the All-NBA team, meaning they are not available for the, what is it called, the Super Max extension or something like that?
Yeah, that's what they're calling it, the Super Duper Max, if you wanted to add in another one. Where, yeah, they needed to be named All-NBA. Now, Paul George is another year to be named All-NBA before his contract is up. Gordon Hayward, though, he is a free agent this year. I find it uncomfortable, and Darren, be interested to see what you think about this. The media controls the All-NBA teams, and it's in the collective bargaining agreement that the All-NBA teams determine whether you're eligible for a Super Max. So it means the media controls whether certain players get max contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of scary.
I wouldn't be comfortable with that at all. But it's, for a lot of guys, it's the same thing. Guys in the NFL have their bonuses for making the Pro Bowl as such, and it's voted on by fans.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, you may live in a town like Dallas or, somewhere where football's king, and you may be the seventh best left guard in the nation and get voted to the Pro Bowl, and a guy nobody's ever heard of who's the best doesn't get voted. So, guys put themselves in that situation in the NFL with their, contract negotiations. I never would. But the fact that the media can control a guy's contract, how much money they can make, yeah. I'm not good with that.
Now, my whole thing is, now y'all better be nice to the media now. Like, if media controls whether you guys get an extension or not, I feel like it's now a responsibility of the players to be nice to the media instead of being standoffish, because we can make you and cost you millions of dollars. Power! From what I've heard, NBA media hates this. The last thing they want to do is control people's money.
Well, speaking of controlling things, the NFL owners are expected to control how long overtime lasts, shortening it from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. That'll be voted on next week. And Saints quarterback Drew Brees, not a big fan. Brees told Dan Patrick on the potential rule change, quote, I'm not sure what the thought process was going into that, but just from what I see, I would disagree with it because more games are going to end in ties now. When asked how he would fix overtime, Brees said he prefers the college format. Both teams get the ball at the 25-yard line and continue on until the tie is broken. Brees said he likes it because it reduces the number of plays and it's more exciting for the fans.
I see what you're doing, Drew Brees. He's trying to make the all-time touchdown list. He wants some overtime games to add into some touchdowns starting drives from the 25-yard line.
Yeah,
he's a stat chaser.
Every time he touches the ball, he's got a chance to score a touchdown. That's a stat chase move right there. If they shorten overtime, he hasn't got as many throws. So I'm with you. I think old Drew's just worried about his legacy.
Chasing numbers.
Plus, from a fantasy concern, that's going to be really hectic.
Yeah, if it's a fantasy
disaster.
Game,
you're going to have 10 touchdown games by some players.
Well, and even looking at the gambling system, because in all reality, nobody wants to admit it, but all sports are controlled by the gambling institution. You look at a situation where all of a sudden over-unders are going to be out of control because, there's a chance we're going to sit here at the end of the game, just throw touchdowns back and forth. You're going to be looking at scores that are just insane.
What was the score of that Wyoming UNLV game this past year? That was a
69-67 in four overtime.
Exactly.
Yeah, it sounds like a basketball score. You're like, no, can't do it.
So yeah, I'm against the college overtime system in general compared to the NFL because I don't like the cheapness of getting the ball to 25. It just doesn't feel like football anymore. And I'm also not against shortening the overtime to 10. From what I heard, there would only be two more ties in the NFL last season if that was in place. And that's not to say that teams would actually try at the end to try to rush to get a score. So maybe there would be even fewer than two more ties. And what's the terrible thing about a tie? Everybody hates them for some reason. I watch soccer, and sometimes the game ends in a tie, and I'm not crying. It's usually somebody who wins, but I'm not crying.
It's usually those edge teams that are worried about it. Teams that know they're going to be close to not win their division. They're worried about a wild card, and they're worried they're going to get bumped by a guy who has a tie, because a tie is not as bad as a loss. So, you know, we were one of those guys when I played in Arizona. We lost out to a slot to somebody that had a tie. I believe it was Green Bay that year, actually. They had a tie, and we had a loss, and they got in, and we got knocked out. So it's one of those things that, you know, players don't necessarily like ties. It's that, you know, kind of like an old joke, kissing your sister. But In all reality, guys also don't like going out for 30 extra minutes a game and getting their head kicked in. So we'll take 10 minutes.
And we'll finish sports update by saying the NFL moved to L.A., been delayed at least 1 year now because the Chargers and Rams released a joint statement yesterday saying due to record rain from January to March, the project has been delayed and will now not be open until the summer of 2020, meaning the Chargers will have to play in the StubHub Center through 2019 while the Rams going to remain in the L.A. Coliseum.
Oh, poor guys in L.A. They have to deal with a little rain.
I feel like it's kind of like the Oakland, though. How are fans going to respond to, hey, you're not going to be out of here as soon as we thought? Like, they're not going to boycott. Nobody's got the cojones to just boycott and be like, no, nobody's going to show up at these games. So they're still going to get people. But I wonder if you're going to have some bitter fans.
Well, at least they're still in that city. It's not like, you know, The Oakland Raiders. The stadium's not ready in Las Vegas, so we have to stay in Oakland
exactly.
For another season. I mean, these teams will still be playing in L.A. It's just a matter of where in L.A. they're actually going to be playing. You're the best of sports radio, The Ticket, with the must-have ticket app at iTunes or KTIK.com. Access social media posts, live broadcasts, featured interviews, conversations, entire shows, podcasts. It's an Idaho sports lover's dream. Download the Sports Radio The Ticket app today. We just did a podcast this week, me and Fish, about the NBA draft lottery, hopes and dreams. My hopes and dreams weren't exactly fulfilled in the NBA draft lottery. The NFL's created a system that leads to bad football in September and October. How do we fix it? Darren probably can have the answer. That's next on Sports Radio The Ticket. Touchdown for tickets next hour. So another chance for you to qualify to win Boise State football season tickets. Huddle up with Coach Brian Harsin also returns today. We'll hear from the Bronco head coach at 2:15 today. So Coach Harsin a little bit later. Chris Lewis and Darren College is in for Bob Beeler, who expert on the NFL, knows the inner workings of salary structure and everything that goes along with it, which makes you a guy to answer this big problem that I have with the NFL. The NFL's own salary structure has led to terrible football, awful football. September and October football is bad in the NFL. And one of the reasons it is relates to a headline in the news today. Alex Smith. He said that he realizes that the Chiefs aren't committed to him. Remember, they drafted Patrick Mahomes, traded up to pick him, the young athletic quarterback who can make a lot of crazy plays, but they said he's going to need time to develop so he can work behind Alex Smith. But Smith is familiar with how this process goes because, remember, Colin Kaepernick was a backup for Alex Smith. When Alex Smith had a concussion, Kaepernick came right in, took his job, and Smith never got it back. So if Smith and his fear of losing his job next year to Mahomes comes true, I have a feeling he's in danger of being the next Jay Cutler and Tony Romo. What do I mean by Jay Cutler or Tony Romo? There's no home for you in the NFL anymore after you've been a starter for such a long period of time, but yet you're probably too good to be some team's primary backup quarterback. NFL teams have taught us that they aren't trying to have any veteran backups that are capable of starting. They would rather have the below-average vets. Take a look at the depth charts. Geno Smith, Blaine Gabbert, Matt Cassel, Chad Henne. You can even throw in Matt Moore, or even if you wanted to throw in Kellen Moore into that discussion, you can do that. Or they like to go with young, unproven quarterbacks like Chad Kelly, Bryce Petty, Peterman, who was the guy most recently drafted by the Bills, or Sean Mannion. Isn't he the backup for the Saints right now, Fish? Sean Mannion?
Mannion's the Rams backup.
Or the Rams backup.
Chase Daniels is the Saints backup.
Gotcha. So he's with backing up Jared Goff. Alex Smith next year will be 34, certainly capable of playing, but not enough to be a franchise QB after being released by two teams. And the problem with the NFL, correct me if I'm wrong, Darren, is that when you're a veteran after being cut, there isn't many options for you because these teams would much rather go cheap with backups, pay young players who their minimum salary much lower than vets, or go with vets willing to take these cheap deals like Geno Smith, Blaine Gabbert, Matt Cassel, Chad Henne, etc.
Yeah, it's true. They're not going to give you what market value is, and your agent's going to tell you the market value is way up here. I put Alex Smith above a couple of those guys just because I think he's a better quarterback. I think he's a, you know, I think he's a decently solid quarterback. But again, he has improved that he can win it all. He has improved that he's an upper tier quarterback. He kind of lands in that same spot as a Tony Romo or Jay Cutler, even though I think he's, you know, done a little bit better than Jay Cutler has. In my opinion, I think he's a little bit better quarterback. But
yeah,
it's one of those things where, again, once he leaves the Chiefs, unless somebody gets in a situation where they have to have a guy or they feel like they have a good enough defense and the one thing they're missing is a good, solid quarterback that's manageable, then it's they're not going to pick up a guy like Matt, and, or they're not going to pick up a guy like that. So it's one of those things where the problem is he's made enough money that he's not going to take no money. Mm-hmm. So he'll work himself out of the league because he's just not going to take one of those contracts. He's not the kind of guy that's just going to hang around and be like, well, I need another $1 million because I got 14 kids I got to take care of alimony for. Or
shout out Philip Rivers.
Absolutely. Or he's a guy that, you know, can't see himself doing anything else. He's made the money. He's cashed the check. Yeah. So unless somebody needs him. Now, he'll do like Jay did. He'll do like Tony did. He'll wait till the end of season's over. If he does get released, which most likely he will unless this kid turns into a flop, he'll wait and see if there's a team that has an injury or needs a guy to fill a role. But if not, he'll probably be out of the league next year or two anyways.
But isn't that something that hurts the NFL?
Absolutely.
When your best players aren't playing football? Like Tony Romo, Jay Cutler, they're a part of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and they're not playing because there's no place for them. I mean, Jay Cutler retired and wanted to be a broadcaster, but only because there was no options for him to play in the NFL. And if the same thing happens to Alex Smith next year, that hurts the league when the best players aren't playing in it.
Well, I think it hurts the league when Jay Cutler is going to be one of your announcers. I've met Jay Cutler. I've played with Jay Cutler. Like, the fact that he's going to be on TV talking about football is maybe the most amazing thing I've heard. Like, Tony Romo, like, that's a fit. Like, I'm like, okay, yeah. Tony's that likable guy. He'll probably make it work. But Jay, I don't know. But Alex Smith, when you're watching guys like this leave the league, when you're watching – and we're watching a game that's getting watered down. I think everybody can admit that. The talent's getting lower. Like, I make jokes to my buddies all the time that I should have stuck around longer because the guys now that are playing are worse. But in all reality, I might have been getting old anyways. I might be one of those guys mm-hmm. that was part of that watered down product. But with the way the salary cap works now and the way that, that teams are able to try to save money and they are willing to pay one or two players that they feel like they need are those turning point guys – you're going to continue to have teams like the Patriots who have it together, who have done it the right way, that will continue to win games. It's amazing to me that other teams can't catch up. But the fact of the matter is, I look at the quarterbacks coming out today and I say, who's better than Alex Smith that came out this year? Who's that guy?
Nobody right now is better than Alex Smith. Maybe
exactly.
They will be better than Alex Smith in some time, but none of these guys who came out this year are better than the 2017 Alex Smith.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Like, I wonder why no more – jobs have gotten so short for GMs and coaches, you need to win right now. But it's so funny to me that nobody can do the Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre thing anymore. Nobody can get a guy in the first round, put him behind a talented guy for 3 years, let him learn the game, and then come out and have success. We keep just recycling these quarterbacks over and over and over again. That's why I think there should always be a place for a guy like Alex Smith, who I think's a quality quarterback. Mm. But the fact of the matter is that teams aren't going to pay for him. Teams would rather do what you said. They'd rather go with young players that can produce 75% of the product for 30% of the money than pay 100% of the money to try to get the full product.
Darren College in for Bob Beeler. Chris Lewis here on Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio, The Ticket. This happens at other positions, too, where you know we're focusing in on quarterbacks because it's easy. It's a sexy position. Like RG3, Kaepernick, they're still free agents, too. But like Rashad Jennings is a free agent, for example. You can't tell me that Rashad Jennings still isn't one of the, 35 to 40 best running backs in the NFL. But there was like 14 running backs drafted this year, and more of them are going to make rosters, taking away spots from guys like Rashad Jennings. Christine Michael just got cut. Receivers, Eddie Royal fits this territory of a veteran guy who's probably a better receiver than a lot of the guys who were drafted in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th rounds, but there were a lot of receivers that were drafted in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round, and Eddie Royal still isn't with anybody. To that point, the Browns, last year, they became the first team to keep all 14 draft picks on their 53-man roster. The Browns, 14 of their 53 guys were rookies. So cheap, young, inexperienced backups, as you were saying. Took a look at the minimum salary. The minimum salary for a vet, 10 years in a league, which will be Alex Smith next year, $1 million is the minimum salary there.
He ain't playing for that.
He ain't playing for that. And that's compared to the minimum salary for somebody without any experience in the league that's under $500,000.
Yeah.
So that adds up. You have more of these guys who are making $500,000 as backups instead of the guys who are making $1 million as the backup, and you're getting more salary cap room. So what the cap is, it is taking away the opportunity from the vets, the guys who are better right now, for guys who are right now worse players, and that hurts the league. Now, on top of that, the NFL has put in a system where they've gotten away from the OTAs. There's a lot fewer, drastic amount of less OTAs, off-season team activities, than there were 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So when you have fewer ways for coaches to work with these players during the offseason, and rosters that set records every year for the amount of young players on it, you're getting young, uncoached players playing in September and October. You're getting bad football.
Bad football.
It's awful. We've seen it on TV. It's bad. Penalties are high. Mistakes are high. Drop passes. It just looks bad. It looks bad on TV. So the NFL needs to come up with something that can fix it. And the only thing that I can maybe suggest for them would be to have a system. And I don't know, maybe could you correct me if I'm wrong, if this is impossible, but can veterans be paid? Like, let's say Alex Smith takes a contract for $2 million. But can his cap number be $500,000? Can they put a system in place where veterans can still get money that they, quote-unquote, earn on the open market, their market value, but yet their cap number is similar to that of a young player?
Well, obviously, you'd need a whole new collective bargaining agreement. Obviously, the cap is controlled in a certain way. There's ways to help around the cap, and there's ways to help around the dead money cap, the two different ones based on signing bonuses. You could give a guy more of a signing bonus to help you on the back end. But without entirely new collective bargaining agreement, you have no way to no way to change that number. And again, a guy like Alex Smith isn't going to take $2 million to play. So there's also, you reach a point where a selfishness comes in. The guys have earned enough money and they feel like a value's there, and they don't realize that their value's not there until they're one sitting on the couch at home in September going, Well, nobody signed me. I don't get it. Maybe somebody will want me out of injury. So I would love to see a situation where guys with more years of status had a way to cut down their number, take more money, but not hurt the team as much cap space-wise, kind of like you've mentioned. It'd be awesome. Like, you know, after your first year, it's $100,000, maybe every year you played. It could probably help a couple more vets stay in the league and probably keep some good football around, because – like you said, it is this watered-down product. It's getting bad. It's, you know, guys want to practice less. Guys don't want the beating on themselves. There's more and more rules against problems with concussion. I've been one of those guys that has had to go out and practice with my buddies with a towel taped up as a football so we could run drills. Because if you're not out there working as a group together outside of your coaching staff, there's months that are going by that you're not getting better.
And if you have no offensive line continuity, too, I imagine that makes it work hours too, as well. I mean, you can't practice as much within the sanctions of the team. That's
well,
what
I think
getting.
Offensive line is one of those unique positions. So the league is, the NFL especially, has become a copycat league. Everybody watches what everybody does. And the reason that a lot of these running backs that are getting older are out there on the market is because, yes, you can fill up the roster with three guys that nobody's ever heard of and just let them continually run and run and run until the brakes come off and then go get a new one. These one running back systems are, you know, one or two running back systems are starting to struggle a little bit because guys have found out that, yeah, we can go out there and plug in a rookie, make him play for 2 years for us, 3 years for us, and then we can just dump him on the market. We don't got to worry about his pension, and we'll just run it till we can break him, you know. But offensive line's one of those positions that you only gain experience through time on the field with other guys. You rely on those guys. Older offensive lines that stick together are the great offensive lines. New York was one of those ones. The Giants, when I came up in the league, when they were winning their championships, that they had five guys that played every game together and played 3 years together. You can't get that if you keep plugging in new rookie offensive line. You can't teach guys fast enough that position.
To tie this all together, do you feel like the veteran structure cost you a spot? Like, could you have played a little bit more, but their teams kept wanting to bring in fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks, undrafted guys, and they were taking up spots even though you knew you were better than them? But yeah, it just made more sense for these guys who are making cheap amounts of money, less than $500,000 on the salary cap. They're taking jobs from people like you who are better and would cause the league to be better.
Yeah, it cost me my job in Green Bay. It cost me my job in Arizona in their own ways. I was a free agent when I left Green Bay, but they only had to offer me a certain size contract because they had a young offensive lineman named TJ Lang, who at the time was 75% of the player I was. But they were like, he was a young guy. We think he's got a lot of upside. Now, that turned into a great thing. TJ turned into a Pro Bowl player. Yeah, great decision by them. I don't regret it. TJ's an awesome guy. Still a friend with him to this day. In Arizona, I was the guy with the big contract. I was the vet. I hadn't missed a single game my entire career. But they drafted a young guy in the first round who was going to be the opposite side of me. Mm-hmm. Then that guy got injured, and he ended up having to start. And then he did pretty well, and they were like, well, we think he's going to be a pretty good player, so we're going to let you go because we don't want to pay your salary. We'd rather pay his salary, which was a third of my salary.
Yeah.
And then that guy never played on the football field again. So that one didn't work out. But then again, I turned it around when I was in Miami. I was the older guy, and they had young guys who couldn't pan out, and I was able to come in as an older guy late and come in July and take a job. So it kind of rotates. You kind of come and go, but more and more older guys, what we thought when we negotiated this collective bargaining agreement, because I was a free agent at the time and also in the league at that time, when we negotiated this contract, we thought that more older guys were going to stay in the league. We saw this same problem coming, but we hired our buddies to negotiate it instead of good businessmen, and nobody read it, and they've realized that there's a way around the salary cap to not pay old guys, and they've pushed older players out of the league, and it's been nothing but a travesty for us as older vets in the league. But the NFL obviously continues to be watched. And it's worked out for them, and they're making more and more money.
I'll need to get this thing corrected.
Because we still hire our buddies to work in the NFLPA. Everybody wants to hire their homies. Nobody wants to hire the business guys.
Tickets on sale now for the 4th annual Jackson's Country Stomp Friday, August 4th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater, starring Jake Owen, special guest Cassidy Pope, Neil McCoy. Get your tickets at any Jackson's food store and receive a $5 discount through Wednesday, May 31st, with a qualifying purchase of special Miller, Coors, or Pepsi products. Up next, it is quick hits, including which NFL stadium closely resembles the old Boston Garden, if any. That's next on IST on Sports Radio, The Ticket. All right, quick hits. Darren and I will tackle four topics, rapid fire fashion. Let's do it.
Topic number one.
All right, Darren. You see these NBA games, right? Every one of them seems like they're a blowout. Yeah, the Warriors win by like 50 million points against the Spurs in game two. You have the Cavs up by 26 in the first half against the Celtics in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Sometimes you see players like on the bench doing things to keep themselves entertained, like, you know, fake bowling and throwing a water bottle. The Cavs did that earlier this year. Can blowouts be boring for players?
Absolutely. The most boring in the world. Absolutely. Gut-wrenchingly boring. Unless you happen to be out there and you're the one to help killing them. But it's the only time the backups get to play, so those guys get excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever been a part of, you know, starters being pulled and then you're like, okay, what do I do for the next few hours or next hour and a half? Like, what am I supposed to do? Can I bring my phone?
I've been on both sides of it, and I've been the guy trying to flip the sunflower seeds into the cup, and I've been the guy on the other side still having to play watching the other team flip sunflower seeds in a cup while I'm getting my butt kicked.
Topic number two.
All right, second on quick hits. You know, one of the things that keeps me entertained is when I read and hear stories of the old Boston Garden, where, you know, Boston hosted a playoff game yesterday. But the old Boston Garden, they have, like, the showers all cold. There'd be rats in the locker room. Things along those lines. You played a bunch of years in the NFL. Is there an NFL stadium that's known for poor stadium conditions, more poor locker room conditions, locker rooms that you hated going to because you feared the cold shower?
Most of the California stadiums were pretty bad. Oakland's was a terrible place to be a visitor at. San Francisco had just a terrible stadium, terrible locker room. San Diego's was bad. I mean, there's some bad locker rooms out there. Like, ones that, like, I didn't see that bad of locker rooms in most of my college sports.
Okay, so college, better than, that makes sense. College, you need to show the facilities, to get the recruits. Pro, they just like, you know, you got to play here, so visit the locker room, make it as bad as possible.
As uncomfortable as possible.
Topic number three.
I'd be all down for that, though, as a fan. I don't have to deal with it. I want my, like, Sixers, if the road team's coming in a big game seven, I want that condition to be as poor as possible for the visiting team. Bruce Arians slammed the new Air Force rule about getting the waiver, if you will, to be able to play right away after you graduate from Air Force. What do you think about that rule and Bruce Arians having an opinion on it?
Well, the problem is I land on both sides. I used to be a player who, you know, would want to have left college, went straight to the league, and had that opportunity. But I also stand on the side as a military man who's You've made a commitment to go to Air Force. They promised to pay for your education, whether you became an NFL player or not. Just because you had the opportunity to go to the NFL because you played well enough, that opportunity was given by them. I understand why. I believe that those players that have the opportunity maybe should be able to pay back their scholarship. There's an opportunity to say, hey, you want to pay back your scholarship with the NFL money, then we'll release you. But if not, you owe us your time.
Topic number four.
All right, an issue in baseball, to me, ownership. Typically the root of a lot of these baseball beefs, and there was another one yesterday, American players being upset about the behavior of a Latin player, as if the American players believe they own the game. You being a part of pro sports, is that something that you notice in the NFL where it just seems like, you know, you have beefs that go down to just certain backgrounds of people more than it is the actual things that are going on?
No, you don't really. We didn't see those beefs, but obviously we don't have as much of multiculturalism as the fact is. I mean, the NFL is dominated by African American population, so they play the game their way, and most of us adapt. Now, there's a huge Latino population in the MLB. There's kind of that controversy with the flashy player versus the not flashy player. But the fact of the matter is, it's entertainment. So me as a fan, I want to see the flash. Me as the guy getting the home run knocked on me, I don't want to see the flash. But the funny thing about baseball is people keep trying to say that there's this thing about, you know, how serious it is. Let's get over it.
Get over it. Right now, ninth caller, try to qualify and win a pair of Boise State football season tickets by playing Touchdown for Tickets. Section 125, Row W, East Side, second deck between the 5 and 20 yard line, South End Zone. 424-9300 right now. Touchdown for Tickets next. But Bob Beeler isn't here today. But not to worry. Darren Collar's more than holding it down. Over to my right, doing a better job of speaking than I am. So, funny how that works. Anyway, time for another Touchdown for Tickets. This is where somebody can qualify to win a pair of Boise State football season tickets. And speaking of Boise State football, by the way, 2:15, Huddle Up with Coach Brian Harsin continues. We'll hear from the Bronco head coach coming up in just over 10 minutes from now. But the most recent qualifier, or the most recent ninth caller looking for a chance to qualify, is Terry. Terry, what's going on?
Yeah. I'm ready to win some tickets.
You better be ready to get some tickets. So we'll get to how it works in a second. But when's the last time you went to a Boise State football game?
It was last year.
Last year, remember
the game? I only got to go to one game last year, so.
You remember which one it was?
Oh, no, I don't.
Ooh. They were all pretty good, though. There wasn't many games that got out of control. All right, so this is how it works. For those who don't know, what you got to do is you hear a call, we'll stop it midway through, and then you have to guess whether it was a touchdown or whether it wasn't a touchdown. So, Michael Fisher, let's hear the play.
Utah State rushes just three. Rippin, end zone, Cedric Wilson.
Ooh, and tosses near the end zone. You heard the name Cedric Wilson. Terry, what does Cedric Wilson do?
He catches it for a touchdown.
All right.
Utah State rushes just three. Rippin, end zone, Cedric Wilson catches, foot in, touchdown, 20-3, Boise State.
2-4-2 on this show. What gave it away? Did Bob get a little excited there?
No. I think I remember that game.
Oh, you remember the play. There you go.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
I would have guessed yes, because it seemed like Darren and me that Bob was getting a little excited. But, Terry, congratulations. Of course, you'll be listening at 5:30, Caves and Prater, to see if you're the winner. Also be listening next hour and get your season tickets now. It gives you the best pricing per game, the best seats, and opportunities to purchase additional home, road, bowl games, and tickets. Touchdowns for Tickets on your FM home for Boise State football. Sports Radio 93.1 FM, the Tickets.
The sports update brought to you by Western States Cat. Western State Cat is built to deliver with new and used machines and equipment for any and every job, as well as the best parts and service for your current equipment. Check them out at westernstatescat.com. Well, the all-NBA teams were announced yesterday, and unfortunately for fans in Indiana and Utah, both Paul George and Gordon Hayward missed. They will not be eligible for the Superstar Max, though I am more concerned about the fact that LeBron James was not a unanimous first-team all-NBA player. One person voted him second-team all-NBA.
Well, it was just a couple of months ago when you guys were saying that it was crazy for me to say LeBron was the MVP. Now all of a sudden it's, oh, how dare LeBron James isn't a first-team all-NBA unanimous selection. Y'all tried to give Russell Westbrook the MVP. Pay attention. LeBron's still the best player in basketball.
Undoubtedly. The only guy that doesn't have to try while he's out there.
Exactly. Regular season, he can go on cruise control. Still averaged 26 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, career highs in those categories while shooting 52% from the floor, and y'all thought he wasn't the MVP. Your fault.
Well, speaking of a former MVP, that would be NFL quarterback Michael Vick. He's heading back to the football field. He's going to appear in a trial game for the American Flag Football League, a professional flag football league looking to target former NFL players and college stars who did not make a roster. The game is 7-on-7 in a 100-yard field with a 60-minute clock. Along with Vic at this trial game will be former NFL running back Justin Forsett. The games, if the league is to go official, will be seen only by people who buy tickets, with the games being streamed later in the day after the results have been determined.
Tape delay is always an effective strategy in the social media era. If your games are really popular, like, then you probably want to have them broadcast live.
Who's
going to
be shooting in Facebook Live from the sideline?
Exactly. You know, hey, flag football. You see this play by Michael Vick running? I've watched Michael Vick play flag football. If it was prime Michael Vick. Now, my question to you, Darren, who amongst the guys that you've seen up close and personal would have been the best flag football player?
Vick.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking unreal speed, unreal maneuverability. In his prime, I got a chance to watch him play. It was something special to watch. Anytime he was anywhere near the edge of the pocket, you were on your toes. Like, this could go extremely bad, extremely fast.
As a lineman, would you be tempted to watch him instead of block who you're supposed to be blocking?
Sometimes you'd think it might be good to just kind of let pressure happen and see if he can go make it happen with his legs. But, you know, it's good to see guys like that play because they can save you. They can make you look like an idiot, but they can also make you look like a hero.
Speaking of former NFL quarterbacks, three of them, Colin Kaepernick, RG3, and Johnny Manziel, all remain unsigned by NFL teams. And should they want to take their chance to play football up north, all three of their rights are controlled by one team. The Hamilton Tiger Cats placed all three quarterbacks on their negotiation list, which allows them to have the first rights to negotiate. So we could have a quarterback competition between the three quarterbacks who remained unsigned in the NFL.
They're just out here to try to make a splash. They clearly have a type, though. Let's try to get guys who can run around. But apparently that's what works in the CFL, right? You need some mobility at that quarterback spot. But, you know, they're trying to ball hog.
Yeah, it seems like they've got the corner marketed. I would love to see the three of these guys go up there and have a quarterback competition. I think the best thing ever happened to Canada.
No, who would win?
Oh, Johnny Manziel, of course.
Johnny Manziel would win?
Well, yeah, because they got to take the most controversial figure out of the three
Come
of them.
Come on.
It's still Canadian football. They got to take the splash guy.
They need to stir the pot. I see how
yeah,
that
exactly.
is. If anybody can stir the pot, there's a reference.
Kaepernick's probably going to be a Seahawk anyways. He won't be available.
Somebody got the Johnny Manziel joke. Maybe.
Speaking of not being available, that was the attempt by one Spurs fan for Game 3 in San Antonio, as he is suing Zaza Pachulia, alleging that the Warriors center devastated the quality of the Spurs' chances of being competitive and diminished the value of tickets purchased by the man suing Zaza. The lawsuit seeks damages up to $73,000 and a restraining order against Pachulia, which was turned down, but a separate restraining order to restrain from the contact that he caused the injury with Kawhi Leonard while in San Antonio.
Like, stop acting like this was malicious. It was very unfortunate, and it might have been a dangerous play, but this ain't malicious. Like, this is something to say for, like, punching. Like, what Chris Childs did to Kobe Bryant. That's what you maybe need a restraining order for. Right? That was a punch, a pretty well-landed punch, too. Maybe even Kelly Olynyk stuff, where he's grabbing people's arms and twisting them out of their socket. Like, maybe that's worth it. This was stepping under somebody's ankle who was jumping. No restraining order necessary.
Yeah, this isn't like Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan kind of stuff. Like, let's get a reality check here. I can't even believe you've got the time to go out there and be like, I'm gonna start a lawsuit. And you know what? In this day and age, this thing might actually gain traction.
San Antonio just wants something to, you know, feel sorry about because their team's gonna get spanked.
Do we know is Leonard gonna play Game 3?
Well, Game 3 isn't until 2018, so we might not.
Feels like it at this
know,
point.
Right? There's so many days in between these games. I think he's gonna try to give it a go. What does he have to wait for? If they're down 3-0, they have no shot.
Exactly.
It's not a 3-1 lead unless you take a game.
And speaking of L.A., they wish their stadium was done in 2018 because now, pushed back to 2020, the Rams and Chargers in a joint statement yesterday said that due to record rainfall from January to March, the L.A. project has been delayed, meaning the Chargers will remain in the StubHub Center through 2019 and the Rams will get to play in the L.A. Coliseum through 2019 until the stadium's done. Unless more rain comes, then maybe we'll never have the stadium finished.
Aren't they supposed to have a Super Bowl at
some point?
Yeah,
2021.
Okay.
So they better hope for no more rain.
You got to finish this before you start having Super Bowl scheduled in your building. Yeah, delay is not so good. Although, we're still waiting to see if LA can really have two teams, two successful teams.
Yeah, I don't know, but the California can't seem to get anything right anyways. Not enough rain, too much rain. This just seems to be pretty much California's curse.
And Drew Brees maybe hoping to pad his stats a little bit. He was told Dan Patrick that while the owners are expected to vote the NFL overtime period down from 15 to 10 minutes, Brees is not a fan because he said, quote, "I'm not sure what the thought process was going into it. From what I see, I would disagree with the change because more games are going to end in a tie now." Brees, when asked how he would fix overtime, said, "Go to the college rules. Each team gets the ball to 25-yard line until the tie is broken." Brees said he likes this format because it reduces the number of plays and it's more exciting for the fans.
It's more exciting for Drew Brees to get more touchdown passes on his final stat total and be more clearly a Hall of Famer. I do think Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer, right?
I agree. He's a Hall of Famer all the way, but I think this is clearly a stats-chasing situation, cut and dry, if he can try to break the touchdowns record. But, you know, this gets in a situation where do you start putting an asterisk after? I was post regular NFL overtime rules. I'm a newer quarterback.
I feel like that's what you would need to do for single game records.
You'd have to, for sure.
Single game touchdown records, you have to have a category for overtime and a category for non-overtime.
It'll be interesting to see what it does to Vegas, for sure, because Vegas is going to care.
You're listening to almost 100 years of Idaho sports broadcasting experience. Idaho Sports Talk with Bob and I, Caves and Prater and JP, and throwing Darren Collis too. Idaho Sports Talk, 32 years old with almost 100 years of experience. Listen weekdays 1 to 6 on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Coach Brian Harsin expected in the next 10 minutes or so. This is Idaho Sports Talk. Bob Buehler is out there and college is in from the DataTel studio. All right, so taking a look at Boise State football, because again, going to focus in on Bronco football with Coach Brian Harsin. It's funny because we're doing a lot about the Boise State home games throughout this week with our Touchdown for Tickets promotion and kind of saying how the home games for Boise State against Troy, New Mexico, Virginia, Wyoming, Nevada, and Air Force, the importance of those six games to the season, and why I think that the Troy game is the most appealing one. Bob says it's the Air Force game that's the most appealing home game. But what could determine where this season goes for the Broncos is what happens early season road games. And as fun as it is to have all the Bronco fans over there at Albertson Stadium for the Blue and these home games, at Washington State, at BYU, and at San Diego State being the first three road games of the year, that might dictate, as much as anything else, where this season will go in 2017.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to get it rolling on and off, you know, here. I mean, you've got to count your home games every year as the ones you're going to win no matter what. It's, you know, when we in the NFL, we looked at our home games, we're winning every one, and we've got to split on the road to get ourselves in position to make the playoffs. And college football is totally different than that because you need to, you know, especially in this town, you're expected to run the table every single year. And, you know, we got some challenges on the road. I think WSU is going to be a real challenge. I think SDSU is going to be a real challenge. But, you know, if we don't get it done on the road, it's going to be a sad season. I'm super interested in that Washington State game, too.
Yeah, at BYU, which may be also in that mix, which also kind of matters to the importance of the home games. Is you're right. You need to make sure you count those. And even starting with the beginning one against Troy, Bob has mentioned it a few times, how much talent that Troy does have and why that won't be an easy game for Boise State in the opener. And then one of the other things about a home game is when you have a number one pick potentially coming to the Blue for a home game, and that's the 21st of October when Wyoming comes here, that adds its own element of intrigue. Now, I still don't see it. I'm not a scout, but I've seen the numbers of Josh Allen, the quarterback for Wyoming, and the numbers say, you know, pretty good yards per attempt, but 56% completions, a high interception total, and an offense that going into most games, a lot of people thought that Brian Hill, their running back, was the most important factor of their offense. So for me, it'll be fun to see a number one pick for sure if he indeed happens to be that. If I'm Boise State, I still feel in some type of way that the guy everybody in this league is talking about is Josh Allen, and it's not Boise State's Brett Rippin.
Yeah, if I'm Brett Rippin, I'm feeling a certain kind of way, and I'm going to go out and prove that I'm the number one guy for sure. I mean, Josh Allen, though, the problem is kind of what we hit on earlier in the segment about the quality of the players in the NFL right now. Every guy is this potential. You look at a guy like Josh Allen, and he's got the body, he's got the arm, he's got everything that you're like, and we'll train that. We can work with that, you know. But he already missed part of the 2015 season for an injury. He's really only had a full season 2016. Also had a good running back with him, so this year there's going to be a lot on his shoulders. There's going to be a ton of pressure. We're going to see how he's handling it. But then you start, you know, I start wondering, there's been plenty of guys gone in the league that had the measurables. Ryan Leaf, mm-hmm. Jamarcus Russell, both flops, didn't make it in the league. So, you know, it's funny to think of a kid from Wyoming who's thrown 20 TDs and 15 interceptions as potentially being the first pick of the NFL draft this year. If I'm a fan sitting at home right now, I'm thinking, okay, he looks like he's got potential, but please God, I hope he's backing up our really good quarterback right now.
You know what this reminds me of? The attention that Josh Allen is getting. There's an event that happened recently in the NCAA tournament. The Kentucky-UCLA game, where it was a Sweet 16 round, so two marquee brands battling relatively early in the tournament. Lonzo Ball was getting all the attention in the world. UCLA's offense, shooting all these threes, scoring all the points. LaVar Ball, of course, being a factor in that. But Lonzo getting all the hype at the point guard spot. And then on the other side for Kentucky, which likes to brand themselves as the NBA factory of college basketball, this is a guy by the name of De'Aaron Fox, who he thought he was as good as Lonzo Ball. In fact, he thinks he's better than Lonzo Ball. And he had the opportunity in a game that a lot of people would watch in the NCAA tournament to kind of show up. Like, I know this guy's getting all the hype, but you're not even paying attention to my production right here. And I'm going to, in this game, completely embarrass Lonzo Ball and show why I am the premier point guard in the NCAA tournament. And guess what? That happened. Lonzo had a bad game. He didn't defend well, and De'Aaron Fox was a monster just all game long, taking it to the basket, using the explosiveness. And I feel like that should be the attitude of Rippin, right?
Absolutely.
Like, Josh Allen's getting all the attention. More people are watching the Mountain West because they want to see why this dude is supposed to be the number one pick. But I'm sitting over here, y'all getting all the hype. I'm the one who's producing, so I'm going to show you in that game on October 21st what the deal is all about.
Yeah, you've got to use those games as your moments. Like, you know, when I came out of Boise State, I knew I wasn't going to be the biggest and best, but I was trying to use every opportunity to play anybody I thought was going to go to the league or any first-round picks and use that as your springboard and say, hey, if you're going to get all the attention, that's fine. I'm good with that, but I'm going to use that moment for you and the sun to try to knock you down a peg or two and show my talent. So, Brett, I hope he's taking this as a challenge to himself and his opportunity and say, all right, if he's the guy, I'm going to show you what stats are supposed to look like this year.
Yeah, do athletes do that? Like, they always try to tell me that we don't look at what people are saying. We don't look at the media. We're not paying attention to other people.
If I'm making $10 million a year, I don't care what people are thinking of me. If I'm a college kid trying to make it in the NFL, then I care what every single person thinks about me, what every single person's saying, because I want to know what the story is about me out there, what's going on. You try to stay away from it, but the fact of the matter is you want to know how you're being reflected as a player. And I also know I may not be necessarily caring what you think of me, but I know what you're thinking of the best players out there in the country, and I'm circling those ones. I would circle on my schedule every single year before BSU season started. Like, all right, I know they've got a number one guy here. This is one of the best defensive ends in the conference. This is one of the best guys. This guy's supposed to be in the NFL. And those are the games that I'm like, these games I got to make sure I'm up for.
And maybe it matters more because, you know, Allen's film will be watched a little bit more. So maybe this is supposed to, you know, help the Boise State defense in a way that if you perform well or you have a standout moment in the game against Wyoming, more people are watching that film because of Josh Allen. And if you stand out on that film, then all of a sudden maybe you're looked at by a team that otherwise would have no reason to put on a Boise State film and look at, let's say, Tyler Horton, for example.
Yeah, if I'm looking at what's going on right now with Josh Allen, and I'm a cornerback or safety for Boise State, I'm licking my chops because I'm thinking everybody thinks he's number one guy in the league. I hope he destroys everybody in the league, but I'm also looking at 15 interceptions. I'm saying I'm about to add to that number when we get him this year.
Mm-hmm. Darren College is in for Bob Beeler. Chris Lewis here on Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio The Ticket, waiting for Brian Harsin. Huddle up with Harse returning here in the Boise State offseason. But, yeah, that game against Wyoming does stand out as one of the premier home games. That to go along with, I still think Troy is the most attractive one because it is the opener. And even as a player, doesn't the opener kind of still get you a little bit?
The opener gets you fired up. Super excited for openers, always excited for the start of the football season. The one I've got circled for me, and I think a lot of Boise State players will be the Air Force game. Mm. I think, you know, for me, obviously it's a military appreciation game, so it should be exciting. But with a team that we have struggled with the last couple of years, the chance to have them coming in our house, you know, a team that decided to take a couple pictures, things like that. It's going to be it should be a much more exciting game.
New Mexico got the picture
treatment. Oh, yeah, it was New Mexico that got the picture game.
Well, also, I mean, yeah. They got the treatment. They got the beat down the next year. So Boise State certainly remembered that.
208-424-9300. That's the number on the commercial tire text line. Again, 208-424-9300. Up next, potentially, Brian Harsin on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Bob Beeler is out today. Chris Lewis here. Darren College is in for Bob. This is Idaho Sports Talk, and it's time for Huddle Up with Coach Brian Harsin, the head coach of Boise State football, joins us on the phone. Coach, good to hear from you.
Oh, how are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. Good day for us. Good day for you. Well, all week long, we've been giving away these season tickets, and the phones just haven't really stopped ringing whatsoever. So how does hearing that interest add to your excitement for the start of the season?
Yeah, we're looking forward to them. There's so many things going on right now. Our coaches are on the road recruiting. Players have a little bit of time off, are coming back here at the end of this month. And so, you know, our focus right now is getting prepared for summer and having 2 months of just working as hard as we possibly can before we get to fall camp. But certainly we get to play September 2nd against Troy. I mean, that is what we're working towards, and obviously looking forward to the season and being here and playing on the blue.
And speaking of the tickets, the Select Your Seat open house is this next Wednesday. Home games the last couple of seasons have been pretty close. How does having more fans in the seats and for those fans to stay to the end of these games make the difference on the field?
Well, that's a huge part. You know, one of the biggest things, every one of our future Broncos is probably going to be at a game. And they're going to get a chance to see the environment and, you know, get an opportunity to kind of get the next 4 or 5 years of their life on game day, what it's like to be a Bronco. So, and then I think just the overall enthusiasm of being in Albertson Stadium and getting a chance to play and on the blue field and have a crowd like we do, that's one of the things our guys talk about all the time. They talk about the experience, you know, of playing here and playing for Bronco Nation. And it is unique. It is different. And that's something that, you know, I think we have to embrace even more. And so at the end of the games and having that place filled up, it is one of those experiences that is different. And playing in different venues and being at different schools, there's not many places like Boise State.
Coach, I got to totally agree with you, obviously, with my time there. I mean, everybody harps on fan engagement. You guys also do it in a different way. You've got the youth camps. They're getting ready to start. How have they grown over the years, and what's the response been like for those?
Yeah, the youth camps are awesome. You know, one of the things, you know, the Optimus football group that we have here, Jaron Moore and his crew, you know, that's a big part of the development of the game. And these youth camps are an extension of that. You know, how do we get some of these young players to come in here, get a chance to be coached by our coaches, coached by our players, learn the proper techniques, prepare themselves for their seasons, and have a whole lot of fun doing it. And that's a chance for us to have a bunch of young people on campus that get to experience, you know, what we get to experience as coaches and players each and every day. And you know, that's something personal, and I know near and dear to so many of our coaches. We have some little guys that are playing football as well, and so it makes it a whole lot of fun. And we've just grown that program and that camp, you know, over the years. And Brad Lerondo has done a fantastic job of developing that to what it is today.
Coach Brian Harsin joining us here on Idaho Sports Talk. Bob Beeler out, Darren College in, Chris Lewis here on Sports Radio, The Ticket. Now, it's a question that you, Coach, and both you, Darren, too, can help kind of fill in the gaps here. Summer workouts on the horizon and the term PRPs, player-run practices, they come up. But not everybody really knows what goes on in them and what's accomplished in those. So first, you, Coach, like, what is accomplished in those summer player-run practices?
Yeah, well, we're not out there, number one, which I think is the best part of it. And I think for the coaches and the players, this is a chance for the guys and the leaders of your team to go out there and put together a 30 to 45 minute practice. Obviously, they're working on skill, they're working on concepts, working on strategy, all the different things that go into the game. But it's your development. It's your development towards preparing for the season. And I always felt like, you know, when I did it, when I was here, you know, it was fun. And you were doing something, and even tweaking and changing things too. I mean, you're one of the things that come out of those PRPs is some of the ideas we may have as coaches, boy, they get tweaked a little bit and there's a little bit better idea. And all of a sudden, you know, these players now, they're personally involved in the game plan and the future success for that season. And so a lot of work, but I think it's a chance for these guys to, you know, develop themselves into that brotherhood, you know, hone their skills a little bit. And then also, you know what, give the coaches some idea on how we can do some things a little bit better.
Yeah, I'm with Coach on this one. I mean, I think it's invaluable. It gives your leaders that chance to come out and be the leaders that they need to be for the future. And plus, with a lot of stuff with the eliminations of the talking about 2 days and OTAs in the league, you need those extra opportunities to come. The difference between you and the guys at the next level is 1-2%. You got to find a way to get that 1%. Those teams that go out and do that as a group, they got the chance to get better. Coach, talking about that stuff, I mean, OTAs are starting to get eliminated in the league. 2 days are starting to get limited for you guys. How is that affecting you guys? How do you feel about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those, it is what it is. I don't necessarily agree with it. You know, I just think the two-a-day part of it, okay. You know, you're going to make it up. There's walk-through opportunities, and there's class on the grass, and there's obviously practices. You know, and these guys, I think also in the summertime, you know, they are getting 20 of those PRPs in. They are working out. They are physically ready. So it's not the same when I played. We had 22 straight days of two-a-days. Well, you didn't have a summer program that required you to be there. So I think that's okay. The only thing that bothers me is the limitations you put on player and coach where there's a chance for those guys to develop and get better. It doesn't always have to be physical. But at the same time, if you want to be a great player, you know it takes a tremendous amount of time, and you want to utilize every resource you possibly can to develop. And so I think the way we're heading right now, we're heading in the right direction. But I also know, too, when you start to limit that opportunity for a player or coach to have a relationship and to talk about the game, you know, I think you're also limiting chances for guys to truly develop and become the very best player they can be.
Coach Brian Harsin joining us, and while we're talking about tweaks within college football, the American Football Coaches Association sending that NCAA proposal that would allow players to play up to 4 games in a season without losing that redshirt year. What would be your stance on that?
I would be all about it. Yeah, that's something, you know, Todd Berry with the AFCA, he's been talking about that for I don't know how many years. I think it's a tremendous idea. And here's the reason why. You could play in any 4 games, okay? So you could get some of those young guys some experience to go out there and be on special teams, maybe play. But here's where it gets you. Think about Jeremy McNichols. It's game 5, and we have a couple injuries, and Jay's a little tweaked, and this is Jeremy McNichols' true freshman year. We're going to play him against Nevada. And that whole entire week is talking to him, hey, are you going to be ready, and talking to his family, are you okay if we do this? And the conversations of, well, it better be worth it. And it was. You know, it all worked out. But, you know, if you had that 4-game opportunity, well, now it's a chance to play him and then to see how it works out. And you're not putting a guy in a bad spot to where, you know, you play him for a game and then the starter comes back and now he's getting limited reps and he's not getting everything he possibly can out of that season. So if you had that chance to do that, you could play guys somewhere along the season. You could play them at the end of the year. And if you get depleted at a position, you can let a guy play and still not lose a year if it's only 4 games or less.
How do you think that changes your recruiting philosophy? Obviously, recruiting college football is the number one. It's the name of the game. You guys going out, things change. Recruiting's changed all the time. How is this going to change up recruiting for you guys?
Well, one thing it would do is you could actually tell these guys they're going to get a chance to play as true freshmen. You know, I always believe this. You know, if some coach is telling a true freshman that he's going to come in and start, then that team's probably not very good. All right, you're going to tell a young player that he can come in here and compete, and if he's the best player at the end of camp, then he will have a chance to play. Now it would be an opportunity to get those young guys some real game reps and still not lose that year. And so I think as a coach, boy, that would be an awesome opportunity to actually be able to play your entire roster at some point in the year and give them a chance to go out there and get some experience, which only is going to make them better down the road. So I think in recruiting, it would be a great opportunity, and this would go for everybody, that, hey, you're going to get a chance to play right away, and then we could decide, or, you know, we're going to let you play a little bit, but we're still going to use that year as a redshirt. That's where coaches could be a little creative that way.
Coach Brian Harsin here on Sports Radio The Ticket. And on the recruiting note, and since we've last done this segment, the NCAA put in the early signing period. It's now official. So how does that affect Boise State?
Well, it really affects everybody. And I think it's one of those rules that I think will end up actually being okay. What's going to happen is, you know, everybody's going to have their group of guys that will sign. You're going to have, you know, a quarterback, an in-state guy, you know, somebody that's a dream school, that's a legend, you know, part of that will be committing on those days. The real challenge is going to be the guys that are committed to you verbally, and you're going to get to that December 20th date, and they don't sign. Now what happens? What's going to be your reaction? Are you going to be upset about it, or are you going to continue to recruit? I think that's where staffs are going to have to decide, you know, how they're going to handle that. And either way, it's going to benefit the student-athlete where he gets a chance to get it over with. It's going to benefit the coaches to where the travel time to go see some of these guys is going to be less. But it's also going to create some issues from the standpoint of, is this guy truly committed if he doesn't sign that day and was verbally committed to us prior? So it's going to be an interesting thing. I think, you know, you gear up for that, but really – you're not going to know until it happens, and then you're going to build your plan from there. But I do think it's going to end up being a good thing when it's all said and done, and probably save some stress on players and coaches in the long run.
It will be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Coach Brian Harsin on Sports Radio The Ticket. It's been interesting hearing all the hype about the Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen possibly being the number one pick, especially in this conference where Brett Rippon has been named the first-team All-Mountain West quarterback each of the years that he started the last couple. So I know you guys respect the opponent and everything, but Brett Rippon, why do you guys feel like you guys have the best quarterback of the conference?
Yeah, well, that all remains to be seen. You know, and again, that's not those aren't my opinions. I don't know whose opinions those are. I do know this. I know Josh Allen is a tremendous player. I think, you know, we got a chance to see him firsthand. Obviously, we've seen more games on him. And he is a great quarterback and certainly worthy of getting the attention, you know, that he's getting right now. Brett Rippon is a great quarterback. And, you know, he's part of our team. Now, for the guys that we have, I can only speak for our team. We have a lot of work to do. You know, we have a lot to prepare for, and it's not about, you know, an individual. It's going to be about the team. And what I can say about Brett is he would feel the exact same way. He's going to work for Boise State. He's going to work for his team. He's going to work for the position that he's in, and he's going to go out there and try to do his very best each and every day. And he's obviously been a good player for us the last couple seasons. But this is a new year, new opportunities, and all we do is control what we can control, and I know for Brett, it's just working hard and preparing himself for the very best season he can have.
You know, Brett's going to do it the right way. He's going to say those good things. Me, I'm circling that game with Wyoming for sure. But something I want to talk to you about, Coach, that it wasn't an opportunity when I was here. Didn't happen when I was here, but I had a chance to do it when I was in Green Bay. You guys got the Helmets and Heels Women's Clinic coming up June 1st, and I think it's an awesome opportunity. It's amazing to see how many the female fans do come out, and you know, we've got a lot of female listeners on here, especially when I'm on. So you know, get a chance to come out puppet. How proud are you guys of that?
Well, we love our women's clinic, and that's one of the more fun events that we get a chance to do. And it's, you know what, our coaches, they take it tremendously serious. And they prepare themselves. You know, we get a chance to talk football. We get a chance to do some on-field drills and get a chance to answer a lot of questions. It is really, from just a pure football standpoint, one of the best events that we do. And so we love to see the support, you know, and when we have the women's clinic and we have fun. We get to talk football. You know, we get to educate. but also just to see the support. I mean, it is one of the things that, that we enjoy doing. So we're looking forward to June 1st, and it kind of kicks off, really, our entire summer of camps with our youth camps and our elite camps that we have, our team camps. So this is going to be the first one out of the gate, and I know our coaches are already excited about it, and we're just looking forward to that night.
Coach Brian Harsin, we appreciate the time. Best of luck as this offseason continues, and we hope we can talk again with this segment soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys, and go Broncos.
Take care, Coach.
And then it's Coach Brian Harsin of Boise State. Up next, quick reaction to some of the things he said, a couple of the rule changes that are going into college football. He voiced his opinion on those. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio The Ticket. Bob Beeler out there in College Inn. Chris Lewis here, Fish behind the glass. Coach Harsin was just on. Thanks to Coach for joining us. Huddle up with Coach Brian Harsin. In the next hour, we will have another touchdown for tickets with Caves and Prater taking over. Your chance to win Boise State football season tickets. Good to hear from Coach. A lot of things have happened since the last time we've had him on the show for the Huddle Up with Coach Harsin segment. And we talked about with it being this time of the year, player-run practices will start to get going soon. Darren, you've been a part of that. They've seen the changes in the fact that, you know, you're allowed to do less in the offseason. But this is what Coach said about the player-run practices.
This is a chance for the guys and the leaders of your team to go out there and put together a 30 to 45-minute practice. Obviously, they're working on skill, they're working on concepts, working on strategy, all the different things that go into the game. But it's your development. It's your development towards preparing for the season. And I always felt like, you know, when I did it, when I was here, you know, it was fun. And you were doing something and even tweaking and changing things.
So those player-run practices, important and maybe even more important, Darren, in light of the fact that two-a-days no longer a thing in college football.
Yeah, sort of a travesty. I feel like, you know, a lot of people are going to hit around the player safety thing. So I'll take the two-a-days part on first. It's most places weren't running normal two-a-days anyways. This isn't like the Jeff Caves three-a-days of back in the 1930s and Thursday and 40s that, you know, Caves played in. Yeah. But it's, you know, most teams were doing a full padded practice, and then they were doing a shells practice, which they had some thin shoulder pads on and helmet. And a lot of guys used it for protection for their head. You didn't want to smash into other people. So It's kind of weird, but everybody's trying to argue that, you know, we're going to try to limit concussions. So this is that answer. That being said, Now these player-run practices are becoming more and more crucial because they can't have coaching staff out there, so it doesn't count against them for a practice if they don't have the staff out there. But you still have to get that time. I still believe that even though college football is a year-round sport now, it's still going to physically put you behind. There's no getting in football shape without playing football. And I talked to guys who play hockey. There's no hockey shape. There's no basketball shape. There's no baseball shape unless you're actually playing the sport. You've got to be out and doing it. And doing walkthroughs ain't going to do that. But at least mentally they can try to be ahead, because it's ugly to see teams that are behind the beginning of the season. And college football, you don't got time for that. You don't got preseason.
Now, the mechanics of player-run practices to me would be interesting. I guess there are certain team captains who are like pseudo-coaches through this, but they can't be left out of the drill too, because that is also a bad look. So what are the mechanics of them? How exactly are they organized?
So it kind of depends. They may have changed a little bit from what I've done, but most of the times that we would do it, you had your leaders at each position take some time to do some position drills. Most of the time you're going to get out and do some kind of 7-on-7. You won't have a real ball. I don't know if they're allowed to have a real ball now. We would always use a towel taped up as a ball, so there's no actual passing, but everybody's running routes at full speed. Everybody's trying to put defenses in position at full speed. They're calling plays and doing that stuff, and you're out doing drills. You're working on fundamentals. You're doing communication stuff. It's all good stuff, and it definitely needs to happen. But again, nothing replaces that speed. And then the problem is you've got to have a team that also buys into it. You better have a culture in the team where everybody buys in, because there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be out there just complaining, bitching, moaning, talking about where they'd rather be and what they'd rather be doing.
And it's hot out, I'm guessing, for a lot of these, right?
Yeah.
It's warm. When it's warm weather, warm temperatures, you got a lot of blood boiling. I'm imagining that you get to have some scuffles, some disputes. Without coaches there, how did these disputes in this hot weather get settled? Like, the players, they got to be legislators?
Luckily, most players are able to legislate out. But the good thing is also when the player-run practices aren't a physical practice. So okay. It's guys running routes around each other. Guys usually have a good time with, but there's no actual physical contact. Usually it's two or three steps. and guys, you know, kind of touch each other or don't touch each other or whatever, put hands on each other, as they say. And, you know, most guys can let it go. It's more going to be the complaining of the heat and actually having to be out there. So you better find a way to have like a barbecue just after, or some kind of team function, some ice cream or something to get guys over the hump.
This segment sponsored by Pro-Am Sports, your full-service pro shop and bowling specialist with high-quality bowling balls, bags, shoes, and accessories, located right inside Westie's Garden Lanes in Garden City. So again, our thanks to Coach Brian Harsin for a Huddle Up with Harsh segment here in the Boise State offseason. And he brought up the fact that, yes, the excitement carries over from hearing the fans getting a chance to qualify for these season tickets, and the phones that won't stop ringing whenever we do the promotion, and how it will translate for the excitement for Boise State football during the actual season.
Yeah, Kerry, I'm a player, and I hear guys are excited about the season. You're selling season tickets. People are moving tickets. It's good to see. This is still Boise State football town. Boise State's going to keep everybody excited. But I'm looking forward to this season. I think it's a big season for Boise State. I'm excited about the home schedule this year. So if there's a time to call in, I've already told my wife that she better be calling in next hour, trying to get her name slipped in there.
All right, so Idaho Sports Talk with Jeff Caves and Mike Prater will do the next Touchdown for Tickets promotion. Again, that is in the next hour of the show. Tomorrow on this, again, Bob won't be here. So it'll be me and Michael Fisher, and we'll have a Preakness preview as well as take a look at inside of Major League Baseball and some of the things that makes that sport this time of year a little bit more unique. Jeff Gaves has just stepped inside the KTIK studios. That's a quick time. You can say a word or two about what you want to do on your show. That's
don't tune away, even though the Coolidge is done.
Oh, you just stepped inside right at the horn. He's always insulting you the entire show, saying you played in the 1930s. I know you're
old. I said it once, and I think it was the 40s or 20s.
20s, 30s, 40s.
The golden age.
Lines or years that Jeff Gaze played. IST continues on Sports Radio The Ticket.
Sports Radio 93.1 FM and 1350 AM, The Ticket.